Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
We're going to open up to Galatians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 7, read down through 11. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. I will go ahead and open up here a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we consider your word. Yet again, Lord God, we consider the offense of the gospel, Father God. Yeah. We be reminded that, Lord, the cross, at times, that we as believers have to carry. May it will seem heavy. Our heaven, the cross, maybe we're called to bear. In light of the offense of the cross, it cannot compare to the weight that you bore when you bore the cross. My sin, the sin of the world. When you gave your life there at that place called Calvary upon that first tree. Father God, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, may we always remember Calvary and the great cross that Christ Jesus bore in our stead. And as a result, be all the more willing to take up our cross, however heavy the cross may seem to be, as we're called to bear. Father God, I do pray again, Lord God, for all who confess the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, they are ready. They're ashamed to take up their cross. Lord, that you convict them all the more, dear God. And may they themselves be ashamed, Lord God, and may they take up their cross for you, Lord, in these latter days and what time is left. For in Jesus' name I pray these things and give thanks. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. You look up leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord. You will be otherwise minded. He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. My brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? That is the offense of the cross ceased. You did work well. Who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth. I'll start off using myself as an example. Rather than being so quick to use my landlord as an example, I'll use myself as an example. I had been running well, and I was hindered by a particular pastor who held a particular doctrine known as Calvinism, and I was hindered in that I did not obey the truth, at least in regards to not rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, I still desire to obey the truth. Oh, now it's not rightly dividing the word of truth. And I myself was persuaded of a persuasion that was not of him. Called me Christ Jesus. But I thank God, He, knowing my heart, knowing that I sincerely had a desire to walk according to the truth, He showed me the truth concerning the persuasion, we'll say the persuasion of Calvin, and how the persuasion of Calvin is not with Him who called me. And so, having been leavened myself, by a devil working through his bitter pasture with unsound doctrine. And by the way, that doctrine justifies itself in the name of humility. Oh yeah, Calvinists tend to think that because he believes in an unconditional election that he's got some extra humility that you yourself don't really have. You know? Kind of like a charismatic thing, because they speak in tongues, they got a little more of the spirit than what you really have.
Come on!
Persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Humility. The Word of God warns that false humility in the book of Colossians. Let's turn there real quick. In the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Start in verse 18 and read down through the end of the chapter. Let no man beguile you of your reward and involuntary humility in worshiping of angels, attributing to those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment and ministry, and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ in the rudiments of the world, why, though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all perishable, be used after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things having these shewn wisdom and will worship and humility, and neglect of the body, not any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But there it is, which things having these shewn wisdom and all worship and humility. This is a false humility. There's a false humility that the Word of God exposes here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 23. Verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not. Subject to ordinances. Why, Paul, here in the context of Galatians, writing to the church of Galatia, he himself was confronting a false humility likewise. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 9, read, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, I'll turn ye again to the weak and vainly elements, whereas ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months, times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So yeah, I have been leavened with a false humility. In the form of unsound doctrine. But again, praise be to God, thanks be to God, that though I had been leavened with such leaven in the name of humility, albeit a false humility, the Lord himself, by his grace, helped me to purge myself of that leaven, exhorted in the book of 1 Corinthians to purge ourselves of the old leaven. We may be of new lump, as the church of Corinth is exhorted, so we ourselves likewise are exhorted to purge ourselves some things. What is it, dear listener, you yourself, what leaven do you need to be purged of? What is it that's hindering you tonight from running, as you would otherwise run? Now, my landlord, if you'd please pray for him, his name is Frank. Again, his name is Frank. He himself has been hindered from running as he ought to run by some things. Things that I don't have the liberty to get into right now. But just pray for him. That God would help him, that God would see fit to use me to help him. In fact, when we have our time in the scriptures, Lord willing, the first of which will be tomorrow night, I may very well turn to this very same text that I'm going off of right now. But I will say this, don't let the hypocrisy of another leaven you, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, just because someone else professes the name of Jesus Christ as a hypocrite. Don't let that leaven hypocrite you and make a hypocrite out of you. The Word of God declares, here in verse 10 of Galatians, chapter 5, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you'll be none otherwise minded. It would be of one mind as believers in Jesus Christ. It would be of a mind that is persuaded to love him and to be zealous for him. Even when others may profess his name or not, but they walk as those who profess to know God, and yet it walks to deny him, being abominable, disobedient, on every good work reprobate, we're told in the book of Titus. Turn over for a moment to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Starting verse 27, reading down through verse 30. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, but whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Verse 30, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. I'm going to touch on another form of leaven right now, and I would call it the leaven of easy believism. I will go ahead and share this, because I'm sure my landlord wouldn't have a problem with this. It's part of his testimony. At one point, he actually thought, prior to getting saved, he was saved. And this one friend of his, by the name of Tom, he was telling me, asked him if he was saved. And then this fellow Tom said to my landlord, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now, I never asked my landlord this yet, but I can't but wonder if this friend of his did not, like, elaborate on that a little bit more, did not clarify that a little bit more. Because my landlord, Frank, again, he was raised Roman Catholic. So, of course, I don't doubt that he believed in Jesus, in a sense. And what Roman Catholic doesn't? But again, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? We know that it means to put 100% of your faith in him for forgiveness of sins, trusting in what he did on the cross alone to reconcile you to God. That same Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also said in the context of St. Luke chapter 13, I tell you, neither, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. So again, we're addressing this leaven of easy believism. Easy believism is, those of you who do not know, it's a preaching of faith in Jesus Christ that is void of repentance. And that repentance, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the godly sorrow will be repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. And my landlord, according to his testimony, as he was sharing it with me, after he told this friend of his, Tom, yeah, I believe in Jesus, you know, therefore, Frank believes he was saved. But again, he was raised Roman Catholic, and what Roman Catholic doesn't believe in Jesus? Again, also, what Jesus do you believe in? Because we know the Word of God warns us of another Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And surely the Jesus of the Bible was offered to bear the sins of many, not many times, as in the Roman Catholic Jesus with the Mass, the Jesus of Rome was obviously another Jesus, which I'm pretty sure that was not clarified at all. But nevertheless, because this friend of his told him that, my landlord was led to believe he was saved. And then all this bad stuff started happening, and my landlord was telling me about how he was getting mad because he couldn't understand why, if he was saved, all this bad stuff was happening. God was allowing all this bad stuff to happen. Well, again, my landlord professes, admits he was not saved at this time, truly. But what comes to my mind when I think of the leaven of easy believism? Again, teaching faith in Jesus Christ that is born listening to this? Because if you are, I will tell you that you have been leavened, you've been corrupted all more by this spirit of easy believism. You know, charismatics, they have their health, wealth crowd, you know, prosperity crowd, you know. And I know they think that everything is just supposed to be a bed of roses, since they're all about health, wealth, prosperity. But you know, how many city in fundamental King James Bible churches have somewhat of the same spirit?
Yeah.
Totally. Maybe not totally leavened to the same degree that a charismatic is, but still they got somewhat of the same spirit. Because again, if you don't think that anything bad is ever supposed to happen, you know, as a Christian, you're not really. You can leaven with some of that spirit too. Don't kid yourself.
Go on.
So, anyways, St. Matthew chapter 24. Now, where I was going with this, turn to St. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 9, we're going to look at. It says there in Philippians, what we were just looking at, it is given to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his name's sake. To suffer for his name's sake. Think about that. Is suffering, humanly speaking, is suffering a good thing? Oh, but nothing bad is ever supposed to be. If something bad happens to you, that you're, you know, just because something bad happens to you, you're not right with God, or is God somehow doing you dirty? No. You know what it also comes down to as well, now that I'm thinking of it? Again, St. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 9. It also comes down to a false understanding of God in general and God's chastening. You know, the Word of God makes it clear there in Hebrews chapter 12 that the Father chastens the Son whom he receiveth, and scourgeth every son he receiveth. You know, and I confess, you know, after I got born again, you know, when I was a baby in Christ, you know, I was kind of like, you know, I was kind of sometimes, you know, acting like, you know, God was just waiting, you know, to just spank me every time I did something wrong, but no. I mean, I could bump my head on something accidentally. It'll be like, God, what did I do? That's how bad it was. But God, of course, set me straight on that and was like, no, son, I'm not looking to spank you just for the sake of spanking you. That's not the way the Heavenly Father operates with his children. He spanks us when we need to be spanked. Just because you bang your head accidentally doesn't mean you know, that you did something wrong or that you sinned and God's chasing you, okay? Now, I will say this in all sincerity, dear brother, dear sister, if you had an abusive father, I can understand why you would be inclined to believe that way or to act like that. Because you had an abusive father after the flesh, so you kind of think that maybe God's a little, you know, abusive, you know. But no, you have a father in heaven. It's not like your earthly father, if that's the way your earthly father was. So you got the 24 verses 4 through 9. Jesus answered, "Son of them, take heed that no man deceive you." Where God says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, roaring about, seeking to be made about." Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and divers plagues. Forsake all these the beginning of sorrows." Verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now, question. To you who are listening, professing Christian, do you believe that when Jesus said you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, that being hated is just for followers of Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation? You don't think followers of Jesus Christ are going to be hated now? You don't think followers of Jesus Christ have been hated in the past? If you don't, just reading the book of Acts, just reading your Bible doesn't tell you that. It's not true, which it should. It does, if you're willing to hear. if you need some extra history on top of that, read the Fox Book of Martyrs. Get yourself some good. Get yourself some good church history, and you'll find out that's not true.
Go on.
Nevertheless, in terms of books that are actually that have actually been published, that you can get your hands on, still fairly easily, Fox Book of Martyrs comes to my mind. Follow Jesus Christ. I've always been hated. I've always going to be hated. But the question is, are you willing to be hated? Are you willing to be hated? He was willing to be hated for you. Again, easy believism, easy Christianity. Biggest problem, I would say, is the biggest problem with the professing church in America. Biggest problem. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. While we're turning there to Revelation chapter 3, let me just also remind you that in the context of 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, word of prayer is, "Well, will not, my brother, that the world hates you. Well, will not, that the world hates you." You know, I can understand not wanting to offend someone without a cause, okay? I understand that. You shouldn't want to offend somebody without a cause. I shouldn't want to offend anybody without a cause. And I don't want to offend anybody without a cause. But when we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a cause. And yet, so often, I hear some professing Christians talk about not wanting to offend anybody. And I don't think they're just talking about not wanting to offend anybody without a cause. They don't want to offend anybody, period, even if there is a cause. And, I'll just leave it at that for now. Revelation chapter 3. Starting at verse 14, reading down through the end of the chapter. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, again, Laodicean means right. People's rights. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried with fire, thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup, and he with me. So him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let an ear of the Spirit saith unto the churches." Easy believism, lukewarm Christianity. Easy Christian, lukewarm Christian. And so, we see this right here, that the church, Laodicea. And again, as I said before, and I'll say it again, irregardless, dear listener, what you may or may not believe about the timing of the catching away, commonly referred to as the rapture of the church, I am 99.9% certain that the church in America is going to go through some real persecution before that trumpet sounds. And another reason why I say that is because ultimately we know God, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is not impressed with anybody playing Christianity. And you got a lot of people, sad to say, particularly in America, who are content playing not wanting to offend anybody. Talk about the offense of the cross. Go to Israel, where Lord willing, you please pray for me. I'm going to go here for the next couple months. All you got to do over there is say, Yeshua HaMashiach, and some heads are bound to turn. So if you want to confess Jesus Christ, but you never want to offend anybody? Don't even think of going to Israel. I'll tell you that right now. But again, I'm going to save my breath and just say, think of all the other places I would tell you not to even bother going. Because, again, it is impossible to confess the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, before men, and not offend somebody sooner or later. So, getting back to the church in America, with so many professors who are just content playing Christianity and not truly being known of God and not departing from iniquity as those who are truly born of God do, there's one thing. That's going to, how's that saying go? Well, I can't remember the saying, so I'm just going to say this. There's one thing that will draw the line, and there's one thing that will manifest and will make it very, very clear. Who is and who's not playing a game? And that is this thing called persecution. That leads me to the text that I'm going to conclude with here, Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 down through the end of the chapter. Tell me, you didn't desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, speaking of Hagar, the other by a free woman, speaking of Sarah. And the bondmaid being Hagar in that context, the son of the bondmaid being Ishmael, the free woman being Sarah, and the son being Isaac. Verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman, again, Ishmael, was born after the flesh. He and the free woman, Isaac, was by promise. Which things are an allegory. For these and the two covenants, again, allegory, has to do with symbology. They represent something. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai was generous. The bondage was Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And answered to Jerusalem, which now it is in bondage for children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Bring forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Okay, so. You're truly born again. You're truly born of the Spirit, dear listener. If you're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ as a child of promise, you will be persecuted. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Again, the book of Romans speaks of us as being heirs, God, joint heirs with Christ. Verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We know the book of Romans tells us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Again, first 10 commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. Who, what is your God, dear listener? Are you bound to Buddha? Are you bound to Krishna or any of the many gods of Hinduism? Are you bound to Mary? Are you bound to Krishna? Are you bound to the one they call Allah? Well, so, you are an idolater. You are guilty. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thus says the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, came down as a man of the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any great image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Show me mercy and the thousands that love me and keep my commandments. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offended one point, is guilty of all. Okay? You may not bow down to a literal statue. I'll be of Mary, or I'll be named the gods of Hinduism, or Buddha, or... Oh, but you bow down to the image you see when you look in the mirror. You bow down. You worship yourself and your own pleasures. You're just as much an idolater and guilty and on your way to a lake of fire. Justly condemned before a holy God. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for you. Even that Jesus himself knew not sin, he became sin for you, the idolater, the transgressor, who has lived in unbelief before God Almighty. Jesus said, you that believe upon him, not condemned, you that believe not, he that believeth on him is not condemned, he that believeth not is condemned already. St. John 3:18, Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless to take his name in vain. To use the name of God lightly, to use the name of Jesus Christ lightly, as a curse word joking around with your friends, say God and the word bam simultaneously. There's a way you take the name of God in vain, and you are guilty as a blasphemer and worthy of a lake of fire. On your way there, since you repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose from the dead, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit if you are to be a child of promise. Oh, yeah, you're going to be persecuted in this life. If you live for the Lord, yes, you will. Make no mistake about it. But God, take up residence in you by faith in Jesus Christ. He'll be with you all the way. You'll never suffer alone. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ inside you, you'll never suffer alone. Hey, whatever you're calling God right now, he's not inside you. And you better hope he's not inside you, because ultimately, if you're bowing down to an idol, you're bowing down to a devil, and I would hope there's not a devil inside you right now. But God will take up residence in you. And you will be free. For he and the Son sets free. He and the Son, Jesus Christ, sets free. He's free indeed. Lord God, clear, thou shalt not covet. Covet shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thou shalt not steal. Thieves shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, the days may be long of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Whosoever keep the whole law, yet offended at one point, he is guilty of all. All but it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt be in thy heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For it's not by works of righteousness we have done, according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, so any man should boast. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin and reconcile you to God now. For behold, now is the time, today is the day of salvation. And what if you don't? Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not when the day may bring forth. The soul of sin, it shall die. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and homeowners, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall their part in a lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians. All but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.